Page 850, chapter 18, text 66. Sarva dharman parichajya mam ekam sharanam raja ahang tvam sarva papepyo mokshayishami ma shuchaha. Translation: abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Text 67. Idam te na tapaskaya na bhaktaya kadachana na cha shushushavet vacham na cha mam yo pasuyati. Translation: the confidential knowledge may never be explained to those who are not austere or devoted or engaged in devotional service, nor to one who is envious of me. Text 68. Yaidam paramam guhyam madbhakteshvabhidhasyati bhaktimai param kritta mamevaisyatya saṃshayaha. Translation: for one who explains this supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me. Text 69. Nachatasman manusheshu kaschin me priyakritamaha bhavita nachame tasman anya priyataro bhuvi. Translation: there is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. Text 70. Adyeshyate chayam imam dharmyam sangvadam avayoho jnana yagena tenaham ishtasyam iti me matihi. Translation: and I declare that he who studies this sacred conversation of ours worships me by his intelligence. Text 71. Shraddhavan anasuyascha shunuyad apiyo nara sopi muktas shubhalokan prapnuyad punya karmanam. Translation: and one who listens with faith and without envy becomes free from sinful reactions and attains to the auspicious planets where the pious dwell. Text 72. Kachchit etachchutam partha thyayakagrena chetasa kachchit agyana sammoha pranashtaste dananjaya. Translation: O son of Pritha, O conqueror of wealth, have you heard this with an attentive mind, and are your ignorance and illusions now dispelled? Text 73. Arjuna uvacha nashto moha smriti labdha tvat prasadhan mayachita stitosmi gata sandeha karishe vachanam tava. Translation: Arjuna said, my dear Krishna, O infallible one, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt and am prepared to act according to your instructions. Text 74. Sanjayu vacha ityaham vasudevasya partasya cha mahatmanaha sambharam imam ashrausham adbhutam romaharshanam. Translation: Sanjaya said, thus have I heard the conversation of two great souls, Krishna and Arjuna, and so wonderful is that message that my hair is standing on end. Text 75. Vyasa prasadach trutavan etach guhyam aham bharam yogam yogeshwarat krishna sakshat katayata svayam. Translation. By the mercy of Vyasa, I have heard these most confidential talks directly from the master of all mysticism, Krishna, who was speaking personally to Arjuna. And finally, text 76. Rajan samasmritya samsmritya sangvadam imam adbhutam keshavarjunayo punyam rishyami chamuhur muhu. Translation. O King, as I repeatedly recall this wondrous and holy dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna, I take pleasure being thrilled at every moment. Going back to text 66. I'll abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Lord has described various kinds of knowledge and processes of religion. Knowledge of the Supreme Brahman, knowledge of the Supersoul, knowledge of the different types of orders and statuses of social life, knowledge of the renounced order of life, knowledge of non-attachment, sense and mind control, meditation, etc. Now, in summarizing Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that Arjuna should give up all the processes that have been explained to him. He should simply surrender to Krishna. That surrender will save him from all kinds of sinful reactions. For the Lord personally promises to protect him. In the 7th chapter, it was said that only one who has become free from all sinful reactions can take to the worship of Lord Krishna. Thus one may think that unless he is free from all sinful reactions, he cannot take to the surrendering process. To such doubts, it is here said that even if one is not free from all sinful reactions, simply by the process of surrendering to Sri Krishna, he is automatically freed. There is no need of strenuous effort to free oneself from sinful reactions. One should unhesitatingly accept Krishna as the supreme savior of all living entities. With faith and love, one should surrender unto him. The process of surrender to Krishna is described in the Hari Bhakti Vilas 11676. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam rakshishyatiti vishvaso goptriptve varanam tata atma nikshepa karpanye shadvidha sharanagatihi. According to the devotional process, one should simply accept such religious principles that will lead ultimately to the devotional service of the Lord. One may perform a particular occupational duty according to his position in the social order, but if by executing his duty one does not come to the point of Krishna consciousness, all his activities are in vain. Anything that does not lead to the perfectional stage of Krishna consciousness should be avoided. One should be confident that in all circumstances, Krishna will protect him from all difficulties. There is no need of thinking how one should keep the body and soul together. Krishna will see to that. One should always think himself helpless and should consider Krishna the only basis for his progress in life. As soon as one seriously engages himself in devotional service to the Lord in full Krishna consciousness, at once he becomes freed from all contamination of material nature. There are different processes of religion and purificatory processes by cultivation of knowledge, meditation in the mystic yoga system, etc. But one who surrenders unto Krishna does not have to execute so many methods. That simple surrender unto Krishna will save him from unnecessarily wasting time. One can thus make all progress at once and be freed from all sinful reactions. One should be attracted by the beautiful vision of Krishna, his name is Krishna because he is all attractive. One who becomes attracted by the beautiful, all-powerful, omnipotent vision of Krishna is fortunate. There are different kinds of transcendentalists. Some of them are attached to the impersonal Brahman vision. Some of them are attracted by the super soul feature, etc. But one who is attracted to the personal feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and above all, one who is attracted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Krishna himself, is the most perfect transcendentalist. In other words, devotional service to Krishna in full consciousness is the most confidential part of knowledge, and this is the essence of the whole Bhagavad Gita. Karma yogis, empiric philosophers, mystics, and devotees are all called transcendentalists, but one who is a pure devotee is the best of all. The particular words used here, mahashuchaha, don't fear, don't hesitate, and don't worry, are very significant. One may be perplexed as to how one can give up all kinds of religious forms and surrender and simply surrender unto Krishna, but such worry is useless. So, it seems as though Krishna is indicating that he wants the devotee to be completely dependent upon him in all circumstances. Now, one may think, well, how am I doing service for the Lord if he has to always take care of all my necessities? Shouldn't I grow up and take care of myself, just like a child? In the beginning, the parents, they take care of the children, but at a certain point, they expect the child to be able to take care of himself. If the child has grown up and he's still is not willing to eat his own food and he still wants the parents to put the food in his mouth, then they become actually disappointed. Well, someone may say, why does Krishna want us to depend so much on him and ask him for everything? Wouldn't it be better if we just take care of ourselves? Someone may logically present that argument. But, as explained here, we cannot take care of ourselves because we don't have the ability. We're not capable of taking care of ourselves. because it's not within our control. We cannot control the modes of material nature. And in this material world, the modes of material nature are acting. They are enforcing everyone. Those who are under the influence of the mode of passion, they're forced to act helplessly. They must endeavor for crazy things. They must. They have no choice. And those in the mode of ignorance, they must become inclined towards darkness. And those in the mode of goodness, they will always be seeking the truth and knowledge, goodness. But it's not that they are independently able to perform anything. Everything is dependent upon the Supreme Lord. He says that if I should cease to act or perform my work, then everything would be put to ruination. People would follow my example. Krishna is the Supreme Father, aham bija prata pita, and all living entities are his parts and parcels. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahanam yovididati kamam. He's supplying the necessities for everyone. He likes doing it. He's the only one who can do it because he's the only one that has control. Everyone else is dependent upon him. Text 67. This confidential knowledge may never be explained to those who are not austere or devoted or engaged in devotional service, nor to one who is envious of me. What is that confidential knowledge? What's the most confidential knowledge? We just found out. You can give up every other religion and just surrender to me. Whatever other process that you think, or anyone thinks, or any group thinks, is going to solve the problems, you can just give it up and surrender to Krishna. And there will be no sinful reaction. What about my, if I don't go to church? No, if you engage fully in service to Krishna, then there's no, what about my family responsibilities? What about my national responsibilities? So many responsibilities. It is generally described that when one is born, he becomes a debtor. He's already a debtor when he comes out. Why? Because he's a debtor to the forefathers because they've given him this body. How did he get the body? So many forefathers have combined together, and now he's got this nice body. He's born in this family, and therefore he has a debt to the forefathers, and the way to relieve himself from that debt is to produce progeny. That way the forefathers will have someone to offer the pinda, which is for their benefit, so they will not be inadvertently placed in some awkward position, like hell or a ghostly situation. Then one is immediately indebted to the demigods as soon as he's born. Because the demigods are providing him air and water and food and light and heat. So, just like if you live in a house and there's light there and there's water and heat, well, you have to pay for it. So he has a debt. And how does he repay that debt? By yajñas. He has to perform sacrifices to please the demigods. And he's also a debtor when he's born to all the rishis, the sages, because they've left behind all this knowledge in the form of scriptures. And he pays that back, he has to become initiated. He has to become he has to learn the shastras. So in this way, everyone has so many debts. And there's other debts. Even to the people in general, we're indebted. We have to pay taxes. The government is providing us fire department, police department, sanitation department, so many departments. We have to pay some taxes. Now, Krishna says, you don't have any responsibilities if you surrender to me fully. And that's a fact. But as long as one is not fully surrendered to Krishna, then he cannot give up these other duties. He's required to fulfill these responsibilities. Otherwise, he becomes neglectful and he'll be degraded. But there are some examples like Judd Bharat. Look at Judd Bharat. He was a pure devotee. But he knew that he did not want to become implicated in material world again. He wanted to get out of this material world. So he pretended as though he was deaf and dumb. He pretended as if he was just a complete imbecile. Or imbecile, whichever way. And most people thought he was. So he renounced all the responsibilities. His father was a very nice brahmana and was trying to train him as a brahmana. The father would try to teach him how to take the achman. You know, achman means you sip water, sacred water before. That's a process of cleanliness and any kind of deity worship to purify. So he was teaching him, take this spoon in the left hand and put the water in the right hand and sip. Then say the mantra. So on purposely, Judd Bharat would do it just opposite. Just the other way. He would, instead of doing it before, he would do it after something. And the father became discouraged. So why did he do that? You could say he was causing his father anxiety. What about his family? He was a great embarrassment to the family. Everyone thought that they had this unintelligent son. Why didn't he show his intelligence? He didn't work. He didn't give any money to the family. There's no indication that Judd Bharat got a job to support his family. He didn't even get married, have children, anything. Didn't go in the army. So what did he do? Was he just a good for nothing? No, he was not good for nothing. He was good for everything because he was fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And therefore, there's no higher duty. Text 68. For one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed. And at the end, he will come back to me. And this is especially a indication that Krishna likes people who teach others about Krishna consciousness. In fact, that's his favorite. All activities are on the equal, transcendental, but still, amongst all the transcendental activities, Krishna is especially inclined towards those who try to help others by giving them this knowledge. They will get devotional service. In other words, they'll become devotees. We've actually seen, I know, one in particular instance, there was a young man who tried to become a devotee. And he tried, but he had problems. He had insomnia, and he had nervous, and this, and so many problems. So, after some time, he left again. But then he came back. And every time he'd come back, he'd go out and try to distribute books. And actually, he did distribute books. And then he'd bloop again, so to speak. He'd leave again. And then he'd come back and he'd distribute more books. And then he'd go away. I don't know how many times this happened. But he always kept trying to do the best he could. He tried his best to give this knowledge to others. And ultimately, after many times, he finally stayed and became a fixed up and very important devotee in our movement. So we can see how Krishna especially is favorable towards those who take up this explaining the supreme secret, that means Bhagavad Gita, to others. Text 69, there is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. And I declare that he who studies this sacred conversation of ours worships me by his intelligence. Yes, this is the way to worship the Lord with one's intelligence, by studying this Bhagavad Gita, this conversation between these two great souls. Sanjaya is saying, but later on, I've just heard from these two great souls. Arjuna is also a great soul. And he's put in the same category as Krishna. That's quite an interesting statement, he says. Two great souls. How could you compare anyone to Krishna? But the devotee is comparable to Krishna because, as the Lord is the supreme worshipable object, the ashraya, the rest, the ultimate shelter, then the devotee also, he shows how to take shelter, to take the ultimate shelter. Therefore, he's the perfect example to others. And Krishna is very pleased with that, such a well-behaved person, intelligent person. And those who don't study this sacred conversation, they don't worship Krishna by their intelligence. They worship Maya by their ignorance. Just the opposite. So you can say, those who don't study this sacred science, they worship Maya by their ignorance. Text 71. And one who listens with faith and without envy becomes free from sinful reactions and attains to the auspicious planets where the pious dwell. So this without envy. Well, Krishna is saying so many things that would provoke envy. I'm the greatest. There's no person greater than me. I'm the source of all the material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. So an envious person, it won't take him very long to object. And they do. The scholars, they immediately object. They say, this is just, we can't accept this at face value. We can, it's interesting, some interesting philosophical points which, we might like to ponder. But we cannot accept this at face value. This is clearly exaggeration. How can he say that everything emanates from him? He's just a mortal man. Avajananti mamudha, Krishna says. Avajananti mamudha. Manushim tunamashutam. The foolish, they deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature. That means they're envious. They think that he's just like us. He's a man like us. He has two arms, two legs. He's born, he dies, just like us. He's limited. So, it's not so easy to understand Krishna. That's the point. It's not that everyone can understand Krishna. Naham prakashya sarvasya yogamaya samavitaha. Mudho yam nabijanati lokamama jamavayam. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. Krishna says, I cover them by my maya. Material energy covers them. Text 72. O Sanaprita, O conqueror of wealth, have you heard this with an attentive mind? And are your ignorance and illusions now dispelled? So Arjuna is called conqueror of wealth, Dhananjaya, because he once went out and gathered huge amounts of wealth for his brother, Yudhishthira Maharaj, who wanted to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice. There were gold. There had been a sacrifice performed somewhere, and he went and gathered up all the gold plates and utensils that were used for that sacrifice. They had remained there. That gives you some indication of how satisfied the people were, that even though the gold instruments were there, nobody wanted to steal them and take them for themselves. They just left them there. That's how society should be, that nobody would even think of taking someone else's property if it didn't belong to them, because they know this is sinful and I'll have to go to hell for this. Chanakya Pandit says, an intelligent person, matravat paradareshu, paradravyena lostavat, atmavat sarvabhuteshu, yapashati sapanditaha. So this means that an intelligent man is one who sees all women except his mother, except his wife, as mother. Okay? Sees all women as mother, except his own wife. And he sees all others' property as just like some insignificant trash. In other words, he's not interested in anyone else's property. Like a man should not be interested in anyone else's, any other women except his own wife. And similarly, he should treat all others as he would like to be treated, as he would treat himself. The golden rule, same idea. This is an intelligent man, according to Chanakya Pandit. But where are they teaching that in school? Are they teaching them to see all women as mother? No, they're teaching him to see all women as a object of their own gratification. So we're being misled. We're becoming unintelligent by our education, so-called education. And instead of becoming completely detached from everyone else's possessions, we're being taught to become greedier and greedier and greedier, and to covet everyone else's possessions. Then, 73, Arjuna said, my dear Krishna, O infallible one, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt, and am prepared to act according to your instructions. Oh, this is such a nice verse, because he's heard the whole Bhagavad Gita, and now he's free from doubt. He's ready to act. He wasn't ready before. He dropped his bow. He was crying. He had doubts. He was confused. He was so many things. Now he's ready, though. Krishna has dispelled all the doubts. This is a good spiritual master. An expert spiritual master can dispel all the doubts of the disciple so that he's ready to act fully. 74. Sanjaya said, thus I have heard thee. We already discussed that. 75, by the mercy of Vyasa. So, Vyasa Prasada, by the mercy of Vyaj, because he was a disciple of Vyasadeva, and it was by Vyasadeva's mercy that he was given this special mystic vision, and he could see everything that was going on in the battlefield, even though he was in a distant place. He was sitting there. Prabhupada called it spiritual television. But it actually, in many ways, it was not only spiritual television, but he was also able to understand what everyone was thinking on the battlefield and what they were saying, everything. Therefore, he could relate it all to the king by the grace of Vyasadeva. Because Vyasadeva also had all these mystic powers. And finally, O King, as I repeatedly recall this wondrous and holy dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna, I take pleasure, being thrilled at every moment. Are there any questions? Yeah. What's beautiful about Paramatma and Brahman? Wow. Paramatma is Vishnu. He's very beautiful. He looks just like Krishna. The only difference is he has four hands. And a few other slight... His pastimes are... Lord Chaitanya described Lord Krishna's pastimes as more sporty or more, you know, more, a little bit more attractive. But other than that, he looks just like Krishna. He's bluish and he has the same lotus eyes and like that. And as far as Brahman, well, Brahman is very bright. And there's no miseries there. There's no varieties. There's nothing to get you down. There's no modes of material nature. That's very attractive. Just like when someone's suffering, all he can think about is if I could just get free from the suffering. So Brahman is a great opportunity to get free from suffering. That's why it's called moksha, liberation. One's liberated from this birth and death. No birth there. There's no death there. Thank you very much. Bhagavad Gita as it is, ki jai.